2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic have inside sources.
Dave, you like cereal, right? You like Kellogg's cereal. You've probably been eating it for years and years. What's your favorite?
I would have to say the Frosted Flake.
They're great.
That's a Tony the Tiger.
They're great.
You didn't need to explain that, Deb. I know who Tony the Tiger is.
My fave is Fruit Loops. Can you believe that?
I love Fruit Loops. I'm down with Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops or Frosted Flakes or Raisin Bran of those three.
Stop it. Nobody likes Raisin
I
Bran.
I love Raisin Bran.
Nobody likes Raisin Bran. Are you a monster?
So I had no idea what was going on behind the scenes at the Kellogg's plant. I've been eating Kellogg's cereal. My kids grew up on it for, you know, years and years and years, decades. And I read this quote, and it's the local union president there in, where is this, Lancaster, Michigan? Michigan? Boyd's shaking his head. Yeah, Deb, you got your state right. I've worked for 2 years with no weekends off other than vacation days. You miss out on a lot of family time. You don't get to see the kids play. You don't get to see sports. You don't get to see your spouse. And then there's a tweet that says workers who make Rice Krispies, Fruit Loops are on strike. And they work 16 hours forced overtime shifts and 7 day work weeks, sometimes up to 120 days straight. They're on strike.
But at least I get my Cocoa Krispies.
Well, there might be a short, right? There might be a shortfall of your favorite Tony the Tiger cereal. They're great.
They're great.
Maybe hard to find. Boyd, we were just talking with a researcher about, you know, being tone deaf and not being tone deaf as an employer. This screams that there's some tone deafness going on at the Kellogg plants across America.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting one, especially in light of where we are in terms of a whole labor market. You have such an interesting shift between a lot of the high-tech companies, the newer companies that are all about culture and lifestyle and work-life balance and all of those kinds of things, a lot of the warm, fuzzy stuff. And then you have a lot of the more traditional kinds of things. You have your John Deere employees are on strike, same kind of things in terms of working conditions, the folks at Kellogg's. And so there does seem to be this disconnect in certain industries that, hey, this is the job, these are the benefits, here's what you get. And for a long time, it's been very easy for them to not have to worry about those employee relationships and conditions because those were the jobs that were available. Now people have choices, and suddenly the pendulum is shifting a little bit in some of those industries in terms of the employees actually have some power and some leverage now that they haven't had for a while.
Sometimes you, especially here in Utah, you'll say the word union, and people will cringe. Oh, the unions! The unions. Can you talk a little bit about the great or the good role of unions and sometimes when it goes too far?
Yeah, I think there's clearly been a decline in union membership over the last several decades, and that's also caused them to lose a little bit of power. I think there have been times in history where the union bosses, that's kind of where that whole thing comes from, were taking in a lot of money from the employees, and they were sort of abusing the employees at some points in terms of union dues and requirements, and they were living these very lavish lifestyles. So there's sort of a pendulum with unions as well. They do certainly have a role in terms of negotiations in some of these industries and making sure that those employee rights are manifest and negotiated over time. And so it is just, we're at an interesting inflection point. Here's an interesting thing. From 1950 to 1980, the United States averaged about 300 significant strikes a year, meaning a company that had more than 1,000 employees striking.
Wow.
So about 300 a year. Last year, in 2020, there were 11. And so now it's starting to...
That speaks volumes to the powers that unions have lost.
That's right. Yeah, that is exactly right. And you've seen a lot of that in the political space as well. Again, it used to be if you were a, you know, you were a card-carrying union member Democrat, and some of that has shifted away over the years. And so, you know, but we've got strikes and looming strikes coming with healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente. We talked about John Deere. We talked about Kellogg's, the TV industry. About 60,000 jobs there are threatening to strike on Monday. And because of the labor market, because companies are so desperate now to fill slots and fill jobs, suddenly the employees, combined with a little populist movement, suddenly they have a little more power than they've had.
Well, the reason I do like the idea of a union is because they go to bat for you. You know how hard it is to walk into your boss's office and say, hey, I deserve a raise, you know, and then start negotiating a raise or being told to get out. But the union does that on your behalf as an employee. Let's talk about what Kellogg, their employee union, is doing right now. I mean, you got the Kellogg spokesperson. I think this is smoke and mirrors, saying that the average earning as a cereal worker came in around $120,000 last year. And that they have unparalleled, no-cost, comprehensive health insurance. Okay, $120,000. That sounds amazing. Well, then you talk to the union spokesperson who says making $30 an hour full-time would be actually $60,000 a year. That $120,000 figure comes from them working 12 to 16-hour days or 7 days and 7 days a week.
Yeah, when you start...
That's too much.
Yeah. And
come
then,
on.
Yeah, and that's way too much. Although when you get, you know, you get to overtime, and for some people, that's great. And that's what they want to do. And that's what they need to do for their families. And so that happens. And again, it's just one of those very interesting things. You may remember back when the Affordable Health Care Act was coming out. Unions played a really crucial role in that because they were, as you said, Debbie, they were representing their members. And the Affordable Care Act was not good for the benefits of union workers. So there was a kind of a carve out of how that would work with those Cadillac programs that many of the unions had put together. So it's a complicated thing. It's a hard one to get together in a soundbite because of the complexities of it. But there clearly is an interesting space that we're at. We talk about this populist uprising really starting in 2016. And now you're sort of seeing that come back to life in some of these specific industries. It's an interesting thing to watch.
Well, you look at some of these manufacturing jobs. I can't think of many manufacturing jobs that are, you know, I guess more cut and dried than the cereal. You know, you make the cereal, you box it, and you ship it out. And I think there's this fear that, well, if you push too hard as an employee, fine. Robots will do everything or we'll automate this. So there is this balance where employees, they want to push, they want to get what they can get. But if you push too hard, all of a sudden some business decisions start to get made and maybe technology replaces that job altogether.
Well, they're actually threatening, Kellogg has been threatening, Dave, to send jobs to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. And to keep it in state.
Yeah. Right? And one interesting thing to keep in mind, too, you take a certain position. I've been in organizations where someone has been there a while, they've been in that role, and they just feel like they should be making, you know, $10 an hour more. But there are certain roles that the business can only pay X amount, no matter, even if you're the best of the best of that job, it's still only worth X amount to the company. And so there are balance points in terms of, hey, just because you've been there for a long time or whatever, at some point you do get to the dollars and cents of it in terms of can we afford to do this or should we automate it or should we outsource it or send it overseas?
And part of that conversation is with management to say, communicate that.
Yeah.
Let people know that you're going to top out here and don't expect to make more in this role. Now, if you want to make more, here's the pathway to something else.
Yeah. And in most of these things and in most of these disputes, it is usually a communication problem. And ego problems that are the most. I've sat in a lot of these things over the years as a business consultant and watching the negotiations. Like, if you guys would just communicate this to each other, if you would communicate this to the employees, if the employees would communicate this back and you had right communication, often those things get solved pretty easy.
Boyd Matheson, thanks for joining us. We'll tune in for Inside Sources starting at 1 o'clock. But Debbie, I can tell you there's...
Robots making Frosted Flakes, David.
And you're going to taste the difference, I'm telling you.
Can Kellogg
keep your robot hands off my Cocoa Krispies?
To make R2D2 enough R2D2s to pack our cereal boxes full of delicious Fruit Loops? I don't know about that. But if they send jobs to Mexico, I may just boycott Fruit Loops.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.